It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. MG, if you look at the Dally M Award winners list, 2002, yes, we see the great Andrew Johns.
Yep.
2004, we see Danny Badiris, another Newcastle Knights legend. Mm. But right in the middle, there's a blank space. And on the NRL website, it simply says, not awarded due to industrial action.
Yeah, and it's a shame because the player who should have been given the award had a magnificent season that year. In fact, culminating in a grand final victory as a captain and the halfback. And glad to say that he joins us today on the Rush Hour.
There is a groundswell behind this man being handed the award after the fact. Craig Gow, welcome to the Rush Hour.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Mate, fantastic, Piglet. Let's go back to that day in 2003 when Tony Butterfield, who was the RLPA boss, ex-Newcastle Knight, ex-Panther, ex-Colton legend, gave you a call to say that, yes, you will be striking the Dally M's.
Yeah, I wasn't like that, Andrew. He gave me a call out of, I suppose, out of respect in a way, just to see what I thought. And yep. And I was pretty much on the way. I just said, mate, Butts. I said, you know, Butts is a true legend. And it was something that we needed to do at that time because we needed to get a bit of traction with the Players Association because we had up for a couple of years and we weren't receiving any the sort of respect that we should have been. And I think at that time, it just came to that point where we needed to do something. And that was the course of action that we decided. And, you know, I was just a small part of that situation.
Gary, the dispute was over the new collective bargaining agreement that included player wages, minimum salaries, intellectual property rights and insurance issues that the NRL wouldn't budge upon. And you guys said, well, that's it. The line in the sand is drawn.
Yeah, and that's the thing, MJ. Because we hadn't had a players association, and then you look around the globe with, you know, the NFL Players Association, they're that strong, you know. I know we're not in the league of the NFL, I get that, but you've got to start somewhere, and we needed to, and that was a big thing for us. And and obviously, we've seen a progression in that, which is, it's obviously worked. And the Players Association getting bigger and bigger, and Clint Newton's doing a fantastic job for the boys at the moment. And, you know, and as I said, yeah, we had to start somewhere, and effectively that was the time for us to stand solid and have a voice in the game.
For those not aware, you led the Dally M medal count by a point from Brad Fittler and Clinton Schakowsky heading into the final round of the 2003 season. You then absolutely dominated in a 40-22 win over Parramatta, and you were given the Man of the Match award by the broadcasters. The medal is in your pocket. Has anyone from the NRL ever spoken to you about it?
No.
No one's ever, there wasn't, obviously the award's not held, so there wasn't any communication from anyone saying, you know, oh, it's, you know, you did win, but because the awards weren't held, we couldn't give it to you?
No. Nothing at all.
That is, borders on the unbelievable, MG.
Well, that's why the groundswell, and I think all credit can go to Phil Rothfield, to be honest. He's the one who started back the campaign saying that it's been, you know, 17 years since. And I think the fact that probably on the cusp of another Panther halfback maybe taking away the illustrious award this year in Nathan Cleary, I suppose I've got people thinking, well, Craig Gower's place in history should be reinstated, and it should be reinstated now because, you know, obviously what happened back then was, you know, it was hard on a lot of people, but history will tell you that the best player in the game then was Craig Gower, so we should give him his award. I think we've gone back in time and give Slippery Morris the one in 79. So why can't Craig Gower be crowned the Dally M Player of the Year in 2003 right now?
That's a good question, Gowie.
Fair call there, MG. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
But I mean, it does. When you read out the names,
MG, I suppose, you know, the thing was is that sometimes you make decisions in life, and that time I made that decision with all the other players, and sometimes you have to live with it too. So, you know, I know that if Trent Barrett had the opportunity to lift up a trophy at the end of the season or a Dally M, I know what he'd pick up. So, you know, that's the big thing for me. I got that opportunity to do that. I suppose looking back, you know, it'd be a great honour, and obviously, you know, you'd love to have that award and the prestige that goes with it. Of course, you would. And I suppose even and now when you're older, I suppose you look at it in a different way, where you know you have a you know, for me, it'd be you know a great honour to have that award and to be recognised for back then. So. We'll wait and see. We'll see if it does grow traction, and see if Pete Landys looks into it and all the rest of it. You know, I'll just have to sit back and just wait and see how it folds out.
Yeah, well, he said he has. He said he will. He said the great Pete Landys, who Peter we trust, he said he's going to have an investigation into it. And I think that the groundswell of opinion is definitely on your side. Speaking about grand finals, you mentioned that then about lifting the Dally M medal or winning a grand final. And you along with myself, both know what it's like to lift a grand final trophy up, and it's the best thing you'll ever do in your career. This 2020 version of the Panthers, they won the minor premiership, and they're on track to do exactly what we did. Can they go all the way?
Well, I think they can. Certainly they can. And, you know, the reason why is because, you know, just the simple fact that they're playing so well, and they're playing so well for each other. You can see the camaraderie, you can see the confidence, you can just see the love for each other out there on the field, and you know that just speaks volumes. Yeah, you'll have two massive competitors in Melbourne and the Roosters. I can't see anyone else winning. You know, one thing that they do have over is the experience of the big time games. But I don't see that as a negative for Penrith. Like, I see it as an opportunity for these young guys to step up, and I think they can do that. They've got no baggage. They've got the want to do it, and as I said, they've got the confidence. So they just need to obviously have the opportunity to excel in those big time games and the pressure games. And you never know until they get there and take that opportunity.
I couldn't agree with you more. And sometimes it's very hard to be scared of something you never faced. And all these young guys have never faced finals footy. And so they are going in with their eyes wide open, the smiles on their faces. And I think they're going to bring the cup home.
Ignorance is bliss, MJ.
Well, it is. Yeah. They're second youngest in the competition. And I think the COVID lockdown is one team that's definitely helped, because, you know, we used to party a bit after games in my era, then Gowie's era, and our eras overlapped, and we used to party together. And those young guys have been forced to basically play cards and video games with each other, and they can't get into trouble. So that's helped the young guys at Penrith.
Yeah. I think, MJ, the big thing for that team as well is those rule changes. You can't get away from the fact that those rule changes help different teams. And I think it's been a big thing for that team itself. It's let them really open up the game. And, you know, if you had to wrestle and things like that, it could be a different story. So, those rule changes have been amazing. I think it's brought the game back to a great spectacle, where blokes can really play with their skill and their ability to see things that, you know, on the field, instead of just going from that structure to the structure to that structure, which was just getting boring and boring and boring, you know. So I think that's been, you know, Pete Landy, he's just done an amazing job with what he's done in that short space of time. And, you know, he's just, it goes off to him, you know. Hats off to him, mate, you know.
Well, not only that, Gary, but from what I read, it's reignited your passion for the game and your want to get involved as a coach.
Oh, there might be, yeah. Obviously, I'm looking at different things that maybe might come up. I'll see where it takes me. Obviously, I'll have a conversation with some people, and we'll just see if something can be done.
Yeah, by judging on this photo in the Telegraph I'm looking at right now with your board shorts and your black shirt, you're going to be a model, when you're a 42-year-old model. You are. Look at you.
Yeah,
you
well, after I get down to MG Active and start getting real for the
He's been there a few times. He goes good, the piglet. He goes good.
Mate, I went to ground after my rocky bottle, and I had to go see Normie to get a couple of cortisones put in it. So I'm coming back from injury, you know. So.
Hey, old mate, you're on restricted leave. I'll put you on the treadmill for a while.
Now, MG, you opened a little door there that I want to walk through when you mentioned that your era crossed over with Gowie's era from an off-field sense.
Yes.
Gowie, can you give everybody a little bit of an insight as a young player coming through? crossing over with the likes of MG in his generation, you know, the experience of not only sharing the field and the training paddock and then sharing the after-hours activities, obviously safe for radio, of course, Gowie, but is there any, can you provide any light?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, the big thing is that, you know, when you're that young and you're coming through first grade, you didn't even speak to those, you know, those guys like MG and Cardi and all the rest of them until you're spoken to. There was that was the aura about those old senior blokes that you had to earn your stripes before you communicated with those boys. And that's the difference with these days. You know, these young kids that come out and, you know, they're just doing their thing, and it's sort of just forgotten, sort of that sort of, you know, the sort of, how can I say it, where the respect of, you know, those senior blokes have been there for 100, 200 games. Yeah, you know, it just didn't happen to talk to a guy like that. You know,
they're a lot more confident, aren't they, these days? They're a lot more confident.
Oh, mate, the confidence is through the roof. But sometimes I think that's detrimental, but too, mate. Yep. Like, you got to earn your stripes too, MG. You know, I think sometimes they get sort of put on that pedestal too early before they've actually got out there and done the job, you know. So,
well, you've seen that firsthand as well, Gow. You grew up, well, Nathan Cleary grew up on the same street as you. You've seen this kid come through the academy, come through all the junior grades, and now you talk about players being put up on a pedestal at a young age. I mean, this guy was thrown into Origin as a teenager, and his moves have been, and his off-field and on-field have been judged ever since. Have you seen the growth? Did you expect this growth in him that we've seen this season?
I suppose not to this amount, but he always had the ability to do it. It's back to that cliche, it was, you know, he just needed the opportunity to get out there and show what he had. You know, I think it was a bit of a detriment that he had such a senior guy at 5'8", where he showed him too much respect, where he goes, well, no, this is my team. I'll give it to you when I want to give it to you, because I'm the halfback and I'm the leader of, you know, how the boys get play the game. So, you know, I thought that, you know, that was a bit of a detriment to him, but, you know, it's just showing you how good he is within, you know, 6 months. He's just dominating the NRL. So, you know, I love seeing him. He's a great young kid, you know, very respectful. And, it's great to see him playing so well.
He's a great kid. And he's got, he's just, the way he's matured, and I couldn't agree more with what Gowie says about it's his team now. And as soon as Jimmy Maloney went over to France, he kind of just said, okay, I'm steering this thing and I'm going to drive it myself. So I think the best way to finish this interview is to cross to the 2020 Dally M's, where we've got a special announcement to make. And the award for the 2003 Dally M Player of the Year is Craig Gower. Here's your trophy,
thanks,
brother.
Thanks,
yeah.
So you got a speech you want to make? You want to thank anybody?
No, I'd just like to thank MG for the what he did when he was starting out, you know.
Yeah.
Took me under his wing. You know?
Yeah, so you took me under yours.
And even if it's retroactively, surely a Dally M medalist doesn't pay for a drink the night he gets the award.
No, no way. Well, in Penrith, he doesn't pay for a drink now anyway.
Oh, okay.
He's still the king.
Right.
You win a grand final in Penrith and you don't drink, you don't pay for, you don't shout for the rest of your life. So that's one good thing that Simo brought into the table.
Well, there might be a new list of players who won't have to pay for a drink in 2020.
Let's hope so.
It's going to be a crowded club. Craig Gower, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate your time, and we are right behind this push for you to be awarded the 2003 Dally M Medal in the year that you were the best player. So thank you again, Gower.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate your time. Cheers.